Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Would you believe that as a child, I had quite a temper? Hunter's like, yes, yes, I can believe that. As a child, I had quite a temper. I had quite a temper as a teenager, too, just to be really honest. You can ask my mom. She said when I was a younger kid, I was just mean. I actually talked to her this week, and I was like, what was I like when I was a kid? I said, did I have a temper? She said, yeah, but really, you were just mean some of the time. You were a mean kid. I would really clash with my little brother Jeff, my little brother who's not so little anymore. We're both about the same time, but we'd fight like brothers do. We would tussle like brothers do. I knew how to pull his strings, and he knew how to push my buttons. You know what I'm talking about? We just knew how to get at each other. And as I was talking to my mom this week, she reminded me how she had to intervene with the Board of Education. And the Board of Education in our house was a wooden spoon with a hole in it. A wooden spoon with a hole in it. Fortunately, my brother and I, we get along pretty well these days, but our ability to get along was really challenging when we were younger. Our ability, listen to this, because I think it's reflective of the human condition in a little bit. Our ability to relate in a right way with each other was impaired by our competing desire to get our own way. Does that sound familiar? Our ability to get along with each other, our ability to relate with each other on this vertical, on this horizon here, our ability to relate with each other in the right way was impaired by our competing agendas, our competing desires to get our own way. Sometimes he had every right to be angry with me because I was the offender. I was the provoker. I was the button pusher. And sometimes I had every right to be offended by him because he was the button pusher. He was the offender. And all the time, my mother had the right to be offended by both of us. Because we were both guilty of offending her with our self-centered actions that related in all this friction and anger and crying and yelling and fighting. This week, we are going to talk about anger management. We're going to talk about anger management today. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, he spends quite a bit of time talking to his disciples about the law of Moses and what the law of Moses really is intending to accomplish, what it really means. And in this section in the Sermon on the Mount, he's really focusing in on how we relate with other people. Where the disciples thought that they understood what the law of Moses meant, Jesus is sitting here on this mountainside, and he is telling them a different story. He's taking it a step further. Remember, Jesus is the one who fulfills the law. We've been focused on the reality that the Old Testament law really isn't capable of saving us. I can recite the Ten Commandments, Pastor. Yeah, they label what morality is. They label what right and wrong is. But it's really not capable of saving us. It's only good enough to label sin so that we know we've crossed the line. But here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is focused on teaching his followers what the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments should look like in our lives. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, he is focusing on how we relate to one another with regard to our competing, self-centered agendas. And he's very provocative in the way he does it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, he says, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raka,'" which means fool or idiot in the Hebrew language, "anyone who says to his brother, 'You idiot,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison." Do you see the escalation there? "I tell you the truth," Jesus says, "you will not get out of prison until you've paid the last penny." There's a lot of anger, I think, floating around out in our society these days. There's a lot of anger out there in the world. So I feel like this passage today is very relevant, not only to the world out there, but to us. It's very relevant to us, the church, we who are in the church. The pressures of the pandemic, the pressures of politics and everything else, it really has put people on edge. As a matter of fact, I read a story last evening. A study has been conducted that talking about politics actually is making people ill. It's making people ill because it's stressing them out so much. It's getting them so upset and so angry. People are on edge, and disagreements escalate quickly from words to anger to action. And anger generally has a way of doing more damage than good. I just read a story yesterday afternoon again. I was doing reading the news, and I was reading about a white-collar professional driving home from work. He got into a car accident in Florida, and there was words said, and he got angry. It was a road rage incident, and so he rammed the other car again, and the person in the other car pulled out a gun and shot him. The escalation of anger can actually lead to death in this society. People are on a hair trigger in our society today. So what does Jesus have to say about anger? Well, it's pretty clear in this passage this morning that unchecked, unbridled anger is as bad as murder. "Well, I've never killed anybody, Pastor." Jesus says unchecked, unbridled anger is as bad as murder. Murder's bad. The taking of another human life, that's on God's top 10 list of things not to do, remember? That's on the list of the Ten Commandments. But Jesus is telling his disciples a different story about that "do not murder" commandment in the law of Moses. Everyone knows murder's bad. Everybody knows murder's bad. We can all agree that it is wrong to kill somebody. I mean, for goodness sakes, we were driving here today, and we were in Mechanicsburg, and there was a squirrel in the middle of the road. And I stopped and veered out of the way so I wouldn't take the life of that little squirrel. Because we just know that it's wrong to take a life. Life is sacred. Life before birth is sacred, and all lives are sacred. That is something that is fundamental to who we are as Christians. But Jesus is telling the disciples a different story. He's giving them new information, a part of the story they hadn't heard before. human to get angry. It's part of the human experience to get angry. What matters, listen here, what matters is how we manage those angry emotions when we experience them in our lives. Jesus teaches us that slaying others with our tongue in anger is just as bad as murder. Slaying someone in writing on Facebook in anger is just as bad as murder. And by the way, it's in writing. Everybody can see it. When you do that, there's a record of it. How many of us are going to show up at the pearly gates and Jesus is going to open the book and part of the record is going to be our Facebook feed? What's that going to say about you? When we lash out at others from a place of anger with words or actions or even just thoughts in our head, hateful, angry thoughts in our head, our self-talk, we're skating on thin ice. It's a hard teaching from Jesus this morning. Lashing out in anger to hurt some with words or actions or even an attitude of anger and hatred towards someone, it reveals the darkness, the sin that is actually inside your heart and your soul. You see, anger is really often rooted in self-centeredness. Think about that for just a second. Anger is often rooted in self-centeredness. It's all about you. It's all about me. We often get angry because we feel offended. You said what? We often get angry because we feel threatened. Maybe somebody's threatening us and we get angry because somebody is saying or doing something that makes us feel threatened. We often get angry when we're insulted. That was a low blow, Pastor. But we get ticked off when people push our buttons. Rarely, it happens sometimes, rarely is our anger driven by a hunger or a thirst for righteousness. Anger does have its place when we get angry at injustice, when we get angry at unrighteousness in the world. Sometimes our anger is driven by that, but it's rare. Often our anger is driven by our self-centeredness. We usually get angry because we don't get our way. We usually get angry because we feel attacked. We usually get angry. It's really natural to get angry if you feel like somebody has betrayed you. Somebody has two-faced you. Somebody has double-timed you. All of those things are rooted, though, in self-centeredness, self-preservation. Anger, unchecked, can lead to thoughts, words that we regret. Words we wish we could take back. But once you say it and it's out there, it's hard to take it back because the damage is done. Words spoken in anger can often escalate into violence. We have a domestic violence problem in our community. We have things like road rage. Well, it's rampant in our community. Unchecked anger can lead to violence in the heat of the moment. Violence, unchecked, can be devastating to ourselves and to the people who are on the other receiving end of it, creating unintended consequences and damage we never could have imagined. Your words matter, church. Our words matter. The Apostle James puts it this way: consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. How easy it is to find ourselves praising God in church one moment, and in the next few moments, lashing out in anger at someone else. True story. It's happened to your pastor before. I'll be honest. I'll be authentic. I'm not trying to pretend to be something I'm not. I'm not holier than thou. I'm on that journey too. We get stressed. We get pressured. And it comes out sometimes. And the people around us get impacted by it. So if anger is as bad as murder, we need a strategy, don't you think? We kind of need a strategy to get around this. So here are a few quick thoughts for consideration over the next couple moments with regard to anger management this morning. I want to ground us biblically in this. How do we deal with the emotion of anger? How we deal with it is your choice. When you feel those angry feelings coming up, you suddenly are presented with the choice. Just because you are getting angry, now hear me out. I want you to listen to this morning. Just because you're angry does not give you the right to say what you want or do what you want to do. Sometimes we get in our heads, oh, just say it. I'll just do what I want. I don't care. I don't care what you think. We don't care in the moment, but then we care later. Just because you're angry doesn't give you the right to say what you want to say or do what you want to do. Jesus, remember, Jesus taught us. What did he teach? Blessed are the peacemakers. We are aspiring to become peacemakers. He did not say, blessed are the warmongers. Blessed are the peacemakers. This calls for us to, we have to grow up. Not only emotionally, we have to grow up spiritually. You see, if we tend to find ourselves lashing out in anger frequently in our lives, it's a sign that we're immature spiritually, that we have some growing up to do. And this is coming from someone who's got some growing up to do. Amen? Hello? I'm just being honest with you here. We have to grow up emotionally and spiritually. Grown-ups know how to control their temper. Grown-ups know how to control their temper. Toddlers throw temper tantrums. Toddlers throw temper tantrums. Sometimes young children throw temper tantrums. Sometimes adolescents throw temper tantrums. Sometimes adults throw temper tantrums, and it is not pretty. Not pretty when adults, as a matter of fact, I feel embarrassed if I see an adult throwing a temper tantrum in public. It's like I feel embarrassed for them because it makes them look so childish, so immature. No respect for someone who acts like that. We need to ask Jesus to teach us how to grow up so we can control our anger and channel that energy for better purposes. Proverbs 16:32 says, better a patient man or woman than a warrior. A man or woman controls their temper than one who takes a city. Know when to say nothing. That's the first tip this morning. Second, so know when to say nothing. Second tip this morning, learn how to express what you're feeling calmly, with calm, right? This is hard. This is like hard stuff. But it's really good for us spiritually in our walk. It is okay to be angry. I want you to get your head around that. That's a human emotion. We're all humans. Jesus got angry. Anger is not a sin. It's what you do with that anger when it comes up that matters. So it's part of being human. As a matter of fact, I think it's important to point out that it is possible to be angry and not to sin. The Apostle Paul points it out in his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. It's right there in the Bible. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Practically speaking, when we get angry, when we're feeling those angry feelings coming up, you know what we need to do, Maplewood? We need to put ourselves in time out. Hunter's got it. We need to say nothing, and we need to remove ourselves from the situation. Have the discipline to keep your mouth shut and to remove yourself from whatever is provoking you in that moment. That might mean retreating. Retreat to somewhere else. Don't say anything. Get away from the situation, the stimuli that's making you angry, so that you can process your thoughts. Go for a walk. Go walk around the building. Go walk around your house. Take the dog for a walk around the block. Go for a walk. Take a few deep breaths while you're alone. Because when you get angry, your heartbeat goes up, your adrenaline starts going up, and a lot of those chemicals in your body are what? Shoot you off like a cannon. Remove yourself from the situation. De-escalate by just getting the stimulus out of the way. Take a couple of deep breaths. Just make some space for yourself. Now, some of you would just walk out and not deal with it anymore. You're like, oh, I do that all the time, Pastor. I get angry and I leave. But that's not a grown-up way to deal with your anger. The other part of dealing with anger is making that space. It's okay to, I got to make some space, get yourself centered, and then come back. A grown-up spiritually comes back and articulates what you're feeling calmly with the emotion dialed down and has a grown-up conversation with whoever or whatever is going on. You see, I think we're losing this ability in our society today. We're losing the ability to do this. We're losing our ability to have civil discourse. We automatically go nuclear on one another when we disagree. We're losing the ability to understand how to compromise, to meet in the middle, where maybe not everybody gets everything they want, but we come to an agreement. We're losing the ability to learn. We're losing the ability to know how to agree to disagree. We're never going to see eye to eye on anything. But my fear is that we're losing our ability to agree to disagree. And what happens is when we are not able to agree to disagree, relationships become fractured and broken in households, in communities, in states, across the country. We're letting anger drive us down a road from which we may not be able to recover. And church, if our witness as a church is to be effective, we need to learn how to speak what we're feeling without becoming inflamed in anger and negative emotions. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. We need to learn how to stop talking, remove ourselves from the stimuli that's making us angry, learn how to articulate what we're feeling in a grown-up way, and listen to what others have to say in response to that. Third, and this gets to the listening a little bit. So first of all, we need to not say anything if we're angry. We need to, second of all, learn how to express our emotions. Third, we need to learn how to ask for forgiveness. You're like, wait a minute, what, Pastor? I'm the one who's angry. Jesus starts by saying that if anybody's angry with his brother, he or she will be subject to judgment. If we're angry, we'll be subject to judgment. In other words, if you get angry because you've been offended by someone, be careful. It can take you to a dark place, depending on how you react to it. But then he goes on, he flips things around. As I kind of read this passage this morning, not only do we need to be careful about how we react when we are offended, but we need to be careful about offending others, being the provoker. If you're offering a gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, go and ask forgiveness of your brother. In other words, if you've been guilty of provoking someone else's anger, it's on you to make it right. We have to learn how to ask for forgiveness. You've heard the saying, don't poke the bear, before? We've all heard that saying, don't poke the bear. If we find ourselves in a position where we've intentionally provoked another to anger, We need to seek forgiveness. If we're the ones stoking the fire and escalating the argument with someone else, we have some culpability, even if we don't agree. Even if you're right, you have no right to provoke someone else to anger. We need to humble ourselves and seek restitution before it's too late. Blessed are the peacemakers. Making peace sometimes is about saying, I'm wrong about how I'm reacting to this, and I need to ask your forgiveness because I've made you angry too. I've escalated this. Jesus calls us to be humble. He calls us to be meek. He doesn't call us to be doormats, but he does call us to be meek, and he calls us to be peacemakers. Not just when we've been offended, but when we are in the wrong and have goaded someone else into anger. Colossians chapter 3 says, bear with one another. Poke the bear? No, different kind of bear. Bear with one another. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Know when to say nothing. Learn to express your feelings calmly. Learn how to seek forgiveness. And finally, learn how to surrender your anger to God. We have to learn how to surrender our anger to God. I wasn't really able to bring my temper more fully under control until I grew up, spiritually speaking. And I haven't even totally arrived yet. There are times, rare times, when my anger will get the best of me. And I know that the Lord still needs to do work in my heart because I have fallen in this space. In order to grow up, though, I had to bow down. I had to bow down to the Father. I had to admit I wasn't able to do it myself. And I had to allow the Holy Spirit to replace my anger. I had to allow the Holy Spirit to replace my self-centeredness and my self-righteousness with the love of Jesus Christ. The other-centered love of Jesus Christ in my heart. I had to stop being driven by my selfishness. And I had to start being driven by God's love for me. And develop and cultivate a love for other people. Do I bat 1,000? No. I don't know anybody who does. But I'm learning to surrender my selfishness to the Lord. Every time I bite my tongue and don't say anything, every time I go take a walk, so I can come back and try to calmly express myself. Every time I seek forgiveness, when I'm the offender, I gain greater mastery over that anger, which I believe is being displaced from my heart by the love of Jesus Christ. That's my experience. That's why I think we have to. We cannot do what Jesus is telling us to do in Matthew chapter 5 here with regard to anger. We can't do it on ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it alone. Pastor, how can I do this? You're going to find this message very common over the next couple of weeks, where what Jesus is asking us to do and who he's asking us to become feels impossible. But guess what? We need a power from outside of us to come into us and allow that power to change us from the inside out. Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and we admit we have a problem and we surrender that problem to the Holy Spirit, his love displaces our anger. We start becoming a different person. We start doing things differently, living things differently, because we're rooted in the merciful love of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4 says, we love because he first loved us. We love others because he first loved us. God could get really angry with us, but instead he chooses to be merciful and he loves us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother or sister. Friends, are we dealing with anger issues in our lives as we enter 2022? Jesus wants to work with you on that anger this year. What darkness is your anger that sometimes comes out? What lacking, what immaturity is that revealing in our hearts that Jesus wants to come in and help us with? The choice is ours. Will we engage? Will we surrender? Will we allow Jesus to work in our hearts with regard to our anger? Or will we continue to live in danger of judgment where anger is just as bad as murder in the eyes of the Lord? Jesus wants to tell a different story in our lives this year. He wants to create a different story in your life. He wants to teach us to become peacemakers, not warmongers. To be lovers, not hateful, angry people. This world needs more people who are filled with the love of Jesus. It needs healed, and the healing power is going to come through the love. May it come through us.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.